It's possible, but it's not easy. I have a little simple equation that I've developed to help explain. The quality of life in Florida, however we might define it, is really a function of population and economic development, regulation, and investment in our infrastructure. So it is quite possible, if we're willing to spend sufficient amounts of money and have reasonable regulations, that we can maintain and even enhance the quality of life in the state, protect the things that bring people here in the first place, while at the same time accommodating strong population growth and economic development.
So it would be a very delicate balance.
It is a delicate balance, and very few, if any, places have actually achieved it. But it is certainly not impossible.
How has Florida done in terms of investing in infrastructure to keep pace with the growing population historically? And is Florida's current infrastructure capable of sustaining continuing growth?
Well, as to the first question, on a relative basis, we've done pretty good. I mean, if people have traveled around to other rapidly urbanizing areas, the quality of life is much better in Florida, really. But we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We have clearly underinvested in roads and underinvested in protecting our water and sewer systems and our natural environments. And all of this becomes more difficult with a large population. You know, with a small population, two-lane roads and septic tanks work okay. They're not great, but they work okay. With 19 million people, the kinds of infrastructure that worked when we had 5 and 10 million people really don't serve us. And it's very difficult and expensive to retrofit those systems, and it's very politically difficult. But that's the situation we have now. The infrastructure we have now cannot accommodate the increasingly large flows of population coming into the state, and certain of our systems have begun to break down.
Which ones?
Well, we could pick many, but just for a local example, the Indian River Lagoon from roughly Titusville down to Port St. Lucie, all of that inland waterway is at the tipping point. We're starting to see massive algal blooms. We're starting to see the die-off of dolphins and manatees. And if we don't do something quickly, we'll have another problem like we had with Lake Apopka. These systems, once they tip, are very expensive and it's very time-consuming to fix them.
Can you tell me briefly what happened with Lake Apopka?
Well, what happened with Lake Apopka was drainage and use for farming, and evidently we didn't totally realize the consequences because large amounts of agricultural fertilizer went into the lake, therefore over-fertilizing the lake, literally, and creating massive algal blooms, which essentially then caused the death of the lake. That stuff went to the bottom, and because of the way in which that occurs in our warm environment, it just killed the lake. And so now we have spent years and years and hundreds of millions of dollars in an attempt to clean up what we did. We'll have a similar problem in the Indian River Lagoon and the St. Johns River and other of our surface waters, for example, if we don't start to deal dramatically and effectively with our septic tanks and with fertilizer runoff in the state of Florida.
So what do you think Florida needs to do?
Well, there are things we can do. We can, for example, tax fertilizer. If we would tax fertilizer and regulate fertilizer, the carrots and the sticks work pretty well, and we don't need to use as much fertilizer as we're using. In addition, we need to retrofit and get off of septic tanks near our surface waters. That will be expensive. There is a lot of political resistance to doing that, but certainly we could do it. And we could do it in a way that people could afford by making payment programs and grants on the one hand and significant investments in that public infrastructure and regulations requiring that people transition off of septic systems.
So the arguments against implementing a plan similar to what you're proposing, those would be financial arguments?
Yeah, people don't want to pay. Nobody wants to pay. And we had that problem recently with the Wakaiva Parkway, where there was also to be an environmental protection component, which was, in fact, to move people off of septic tanks to central sewer. But the local residents who would have to make that transition went to their legislators and thereby prevented that from happening. These are political and economic problems. They're tightly enmeshed. But certainly we can spread the costs in a way that would be affordable and workable, and we'll need some grant programs, and the state will have to take some leadership. Otherwise, we will ever more compromise the very qualities that brought many of us here in the first place.
Thank you very much for your time, Hank.
Nicole, pleasure to be with you.